Thank you. Thank you so much for leading our worship, for enriching our worship. And I know this morning has been a big ask for our choir, our musicians. You've been here since early on, but thank you so much for your commitment and for your gifts of music as they just richen our experience in worship. Thank you. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking a little bit at what it is to follow Jesus. And we have followed Jesus to various places. We've followed Jesus to meet various people. We have followed Jesus into different situations and begun to understand a little bit more of what that means for us who desire to follow Jesus day by day. But sometimes when you talk to people about following someone, now it can have a slightly different understanding. Because you can follow someone in social media. You can follow them on Twitter or on Facebook. And you don't really have to be involved with them. You don't have to get your hands dirty. You can follow from a distance what they're doing, where they're going, what they're up to, what they're thinking. And if it gets too uncomfortable, well, you can just disconnect yourself from it. You don't have to be closely involved. You don't have to be identified with what's going on. But the women who followed Jesus all through the Gospels, there are these accounts of women who are following Jesus. Luke, in this chapter, which Hope read for us, talks about the women who followed Jesus up from Galilee. These women knew what following was all about. They came with Jesus from Galilee. They were probably in that crowd on Palm Sunday, which cheered and shouted as Jesus clip-clopped his way into Jerusalem on that donkey, waved their palm branches. They were part of it. And I guess they weren't too far away when a few days later that same crowd started to cry for Jesus' blood. Crucify him! Crucify him! And you can imagine the heart-wrenching feelings that must have been going on in those women as they watched and waited with Jesus. They're there as Jesus hangs on the cross. They're there as Joseph of Arimathea tenderly takes that body off the cross and puts it into a tomb so that it won't hang there. And now on this third day, they go to the tomb. Their hearts are heavy. They go expecting to find a stone rolled over that tomb. They go to expecting to find a body that they will embalm properly for burial. But they get something very different. Because when they get there, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. There is no body to embalm. And they are told these remarkable words which just changed their whole lives. He is not here. He is not here. He is risen. And those women go back to the disciples to tell them what has happened. They knew what it was to follow Jesus. It's interesting, all down through the years, people have tried to argue that Easter was just a fabrication of the early church. Just the story that was put together to try and keep this church thing moving on. Well, if you'd been fabricating that story in the early church, you certainly wouldn't have given women this role as the prime witnesses. They wouldn't have been the chief witnesses because in the time of Jesus, women were regarded as unreliable and their story wouldn't have stacked up. Certainly, if you were making the story up, you wouldn't have put women in that central position. And yet, there they are, following Jesus to the resurrection. Just last weekend, as part of the little prayer course that the elders have been doing here, I was reminded of a story, an event that happened, which at the time gripped me and probably gripped a lot of you as well, but perhaps like me, it's drifted out of your memory. It was an event that happened on the 5th of August, 2010. It happened deep underground in a mine in Chile. 33 miners, half a mile down, 3 miles away from the entrance into the mine, and there's a rock fall. And 33 miners are trapped in a cavern underground. Can you imagine all that's going on? The cold, the damp, the claustrophobic feeling of being in there, the wondering if there will be another rock fall, the separation from your loved ones, the anxiety about the future, it's all going through their heads. And for 17 days, that's what happened. For 17 days, those 33 miners were trapped in this underground cavern with no way to get out, no way to make contact. And I can only begin to imagine what that must be like. But on the 17th day, things changed. Because the rescuers on the surface had been drilling down these exploratory holes to try and find, perhaps they would find a space somewhere where they thought these people would be. And on the 17th day, a drill bit broke through into that space. And things changed. They were still trapped there. And they spent another 52 days trapped there in the cold and the dark with not a great deal of food, separated from your loved ones, wondering if there would be another rock fall. They still were separated, but something had changed. Because that drill bit had burst through into that space, now there was hope. The rescuers had broken through, now there was hope. And yes, life was still difficult, life was still dangerous, but there was still hope. And it was 52 days later when the first of those miners came to the surface and all 33 were rescued. But it changed. It changed whenever those rescuers broke through into that underground cavern and brought hope to a situation that was hopeless and helpless. When Jesus was raised to life from the grave, it was like that drill breaking through. When Jesus is raised to life, it is like a drill breaking through into a world that can sometimes seem helpless and hopeless, and in Jesus, hope breaks through. Hope breaks through. And it changed the lives of people who were there. Those women who had followed Jesus, who went to the grave on the third day, carrying all the spices and the wrappings, everything else they would need to embalm his body, they went there downhearted. But they went away with a spring in their step. They went away filled with joy. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said he would. Now, I don't imagine life was easy for them in every way from then on. They would have experienced difficulties. They would have known sickness. They would have experienced bereavement. They would have known sadness. They would have known anxiety and fear, all those things for the rest of their days. But because Jesus was risen from the dead, hope had broken through into those lives and was never the same. The little section of Luke's gospel after the passage which Hope read for us, we read of this couple walking on the road to Emmaus, walking from Jerusalem after all of the events of Good Friday, and you can imagine them kicking the dust with their toes, their heads down, their shoulders down. Nothing to be said. And they meet with Jesus. Luke says their faces were downcast, but when they meet with Jesus, their hearts burn within them. Why? Because of the hope that has broken through into their lives. Of course, life was difficult at times for them. But meeting with the risen Christ brought a hope into that difficulty, into that life. And then there's Peter. Peter, who so publicly and so obviously denies Jesus, and who immediately is racked with guilt, who's despondent, who's ashamed. But Jesus reinstates him. Jesus looks him in the eye and says, "Simon, son of Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus brings him back. Jesus gives him hope. There's no reason to assume that for those women, that for the couple on the road, or for Peter, that life was easy going from then on. They still experienced the difficulties that we experience. They still went through the pain and the frustration and the anxiety and the fear that we experience. They still face death. In fact, when Jesus reinstates Peter, John in his gospel says that Jesus indicated to Peter the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Peter, life is not going to be easy. Just as those miners were still trapped underground for 52 days, so these people still lived in this world. But because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, there was hope, and that hope would transform how they lived in this world. This is how Peter puts it, 1 Peter 1. When he simply says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope because Jesus has risen and is alive. That was Peter's testimony. Life wasn't easy for Peter. Life was probably not easy for that couple on the road or those women who had followed Jesus. They faced many things that we face. But they had a new and living hope because Jesus had been raised from the dead. So what about us? What about you and me? There's none of us trapped underground. But all of us live in a world that has fallen. A world which has become distorted and twisted because of sin. A world that is very, very different to what it was when God created it in its perfection and its beauty, where there was no pain, no suffering. We live in a fallen world. A world which seems to be characterized by pain and suffering. Just think of this week's headlines. Of a dreadful tragedy on a pier in Bunkrana. Of atrocities in Brussels. And maybe it's not even the things that will ever make the headlines. Maybe it's your story and my story. Maybe it's the pain that you and I go through. Maybe it's the fears that we have, the anxiety that wakes us up at night. We live in a fallen world. And we're tempted to ask, is this it? We look at the headlines, we look at our own lives, and we think, is this it? Is this how it's going to be? And it's not just about out there, it's about in here as well. Is this it, Lord? Is this how it's going to be? And then on Good Friday, as Andrew so wonderfully and graphically reminded us earlier, on Good Friday, Jesus' arms are stretched out and he takes on himself the sin of the world, that sin which has so distorted and twisted our world, and he pays the price. And then Easter Sunday, he is raised victorious over the grave, so that we have, in Peter's words, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It doesn't guarantee an easy life. It doesn't guarantee that life will be plain sailing, pain-free, easygoing. But it does guarantee a sure and certain hope in Jesus Christ, because he has risen from the dead. If any of you are football fans, you will know the words at the end of the news bulletins at the weekend: if you don't want to know the score, look away now. If you don't want to know the score, go and make a cup of tea. They don't want to spoil the secret for you. Or maybe it's a spoiler in a different way. Maybe somebody lets you into what happens at the end of the film when you haven't seen it yet. Or maybe somebody tells you what happens at the end of the book. I suppose every family has their wonderful stories that are told and retold. We have a friend who was reading Anna Karenina and loving it. And he told Heather he was reading it, and Heather said, "Oh, it's really sad. She puts her head in the railway line at the end." And poor Heather's never been allowed to forget it since. A spoiler, but there are times when we need to look at the last page. There are times when we need to look forward to know how it's going to end. And the good news is this: God in his word shows us how it is going to end. These to me are some of the most moving and hope-filled words of Scripture. This looks at heaven. When we simply read, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God and be with them." And then these lovely words. Words which recognize what we go through, but words which also hold out hope. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the spoiler. Jesus wins. The old order is passed away, and we live in hope eternally because he has risen from the grave. At Easter time, we remember and we celebrate three great truths of our faith. The first one is simply this, and we remembered it Friday evening: Christ has died, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ has died. Easter Sunday morning, we remember the truth that Christ is risen. He has won the victory over the grave. And we remember, too, the truth that Christ will come again. This is one of the great, great shouts of the church down through all the generations. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And here is where we find our hope. Because of what Jesus has done and because of what Jesus will do, we have hope that cannot be shaken. Hope that leads and guides us through this life. A sure and certain hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to do this shout, this Easter shout. Let's stand together. And we're going to shout these three truths out, to twice, simply to affirm these truths at Easter time. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again.